Okay, we're again want to turn to Romans chapter 1. We're again a series here in Romans 1 3 weeks ago. We're still in the introductory phase. We're looking at verses 18 through verse 32. In verse 18 or verse 17, for therein is the righteousness, that therein, referring back to the gospel of Christ, is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. That's what man needs, is the righteousness of God, and Paul states that very clearly throughout the book. As is written, the just shall live by faith. So we have people who are justified and they have a lifestyle. They live by faith. Then we read in verse 18 of the wrath of God. It says the wrath of God is revealed. That is, it's unveiled. It's displayed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. So we have those who are justified. They live by faith. Then we have the ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. And it says, who hold, and the word there means to hold back or to restrain, the truth in unrighteousness. And then verse 19, because. And then as we've looked the last few weeks, what's revealed in the remaining verses through verse 32 is where we are right now. Not only where we are right now, but how we got there. Romans 1, verses 18 through 32 makes it very, very clear. The times in which we live, how we arrived. Romans 1, verses 18 through 32 is really a summation of history. The summation of the history of the world. We need to understand Romans 1, verses 18 through 32 as God's people. Because an understanding of these verses gives you a proper worldview. Everyone has one. Everyone has a worldview. The sad thing is, most of God's people's worldview is not that much different than the world. You see, the philosophy of evolution, I mean, it just makes sense. The philosophy of evolution is that man starts in simplicity and mutates upward. In other words, he's getting better. He's improving. They conclude from that therefore society is evolving to the better. And society is now better qualified or better fit to meet the needs of man. If you don't see any problem with that worldview, you've got a real problem. Because the Bible teaches just the opposite. Just the opposite. Man didn't begin in simplicity. Man began in bliss. In other words, man didn't begin at the bottom. He began at the top. And he hasn't been getting better. He's been getting worse. And that's made clear throughout the Bible. But even if you didn't have a Bible, even if you didn't know anything about the Bible, that's made clear throughout human history. As far back as you can go, however far back that is. It's made very clear. Man didn't start out the top or at the bottom and is now ascending to the top. Just the opposite. Man started out the top and he's descending. And he's been in that descent ever since. Ever since Genesis 3, man has been in that descent. If we understand that basic truth, It opens our understanding about a lot of other things. So what we have here is a biblical explanation of what is happening right before our eyes. and why it's happening. People say, I can't believe what's happening today. Well, I can. And I can tell you why it's happening. Based upon the Word of God. And I can tell you that it's going to get worse. Based upon the Word of God. So what we see here is really a society plunging toward ruin. And however man looks at it, you cannot escape a society plunging toward ruin. But not only that, how it happens. How it happens. Again, the world thinks today that man is evolving and therefore we're better fit to meet man's needs. The problem with the world is they don't even know what man needs. They don't know what man's needs are. Man's need is the need of a Savior. The world thinks they can fix the problems. The problem is they don't even know what the problem is. The problem begins with sin. And if you don't begin there, you don't even know what the problem is. So what we see here is really the exposure of a people caught in the cycle of sin. And sin is a cycle. And we'll begin looking at that next week. Sin is a cycle, and it is presented all through the Word of God. And it is a downward spiral. So what we see here in Romans 1 is really the current that goes away from God. And that current that goes away from God results in a degenerate society becoming its own standard. And when man becomes its own standard, he's not only in a cycle of sin, he's now in a cycle of hopelessness. There's no answer in man's standard. So humanity and society today is caught in an absolute cycle of insanity. And Romans 1 explains that. And they're sinking further and further into the depths of spiritual bankruptcy. We saw last week in Romans 1 kind of explains what Paul referred to in 2 Timothy 3, verse 1. Perilous days, perilous times shall come in the last days. Romans 1 describes that. But it also describes 2 Timothy 3, verse 13. If we turn there, 2 Timothy chapter 3, this follows Paul's description of perilous times. Romans 1 tells us how we got to perilous times. 2 Timothy 3 describes perilous times. And then at the end of that, in 2 Timothy 3, verse 13, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. But man's getting better. That's not what the Bible says. He's waxing worse and worse. Deceiving and being deceived. So let's look at that verse. Evil men. That's referring to those who are wicked, vile, and corrupt. Evil men and seducers. Seducers are those who attract to that which is inadvisable. They attract people to that which is unbiblical. The world is filled with seducers. But that's not the worst of it. The worst of it is not that the world is filled with evil men and seducers. The worst of it is they shall wax or increase and grow worse and worse. They get worse. They don't get worse in nature. Man is totally depraved. You can't get worse than that. but they get worse in practice. So they wax worse and worse, deceiving. That is, causing someone to believe something that's not true. In other words, they're deceivers. And they get worse and worse. And they are deceived and being deceived. So they believe that which is not true. In their minds, they don't know it's not true. And then they deceive others. But they shall grow worse and worse. So things grow progressively worse, and in an intensifying and prevailing way, they get worse. And that this continues from the fall to the return of Jesus Christ, and will continue through what is known as the tribulation period. Why is that? Why do evil men and seducers wax worse and worse? Two reasons. One is because of the progressive nature of sin. One is just because that's the nature of sin. Sin doesn't make things better. Sin makes things worse. It's the progressive nature or digression of sin. That's one reason. The other reason is God. The other reason is what God said. In Genesis 6, if we turn over there, Genesis chapter 6, this is just prior to God destroying the earth with a flood. God pouring his judgment down upon the world. He said in verse 1 that daughters were born unto them, that is, unto the sons of men. We see that the sons of God, that's the saved, saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. The saved and the unsaved became intermingled. You say, well, that's no big deal. Well, God thought it was a big enough deal to destroy the world. And the Lord said, as a result of this, my spirit shall not always strive with man. That is, my spirit, I will not always exert my spirit. I will not always struggle with man. And then he went on to say, for he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. God was going to pour down judgment. But before that he said, I will not always restrain man. When God does not restrain man, God restrains man from doing a lot of things that man would do were it not for God restraining him. And he says, I'm not always going to do that. When that happens, you have the nature of sin, which grows progressively worse, and now you have God withdrawing his restraining hand. That presents a terrible time. We see this here in Genesis 6, just prior to the flood. The result was a progressive condition leading to the flood. Notice in Luke chapter 17. So you have God removing his restraining hand, if you will, or God not continuing to struggle against man. Verse 26, and as it was in the days of Noah, that's what Genesis 6 is talking about, so shall it be. As it was, so shall it be. As it was, so shall it be. That's something that most people do not understand. Also, in the days of the Son of Man. Then he says, they did eat, they drank, they married wives. They were given in marriage until. God has a time limit. God has an until. Until Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. So he mentions they were eating, they were drinking, and marrying. You say, what's wrong with that? Nothing. In and of themselves, nothing at all. But that's not what that is saying. It's saying that the people, these were common things. To eat, to drink, and to marry is a common thing. But the people were caught up with the common acts, so caught up that they had no room for God. That's what happens due to the progressive nature of sin. That's what happens when God's removing his restraining hand. And they lived as they pleased. They developed their own standards. They lived as they pleased. They were self-willed. They were self-seeking. They were sought self-gratification. Genesis 6, it's obvious that demonic perverseness was everywhere. And what was the result? The result was the ruin of social order and decency. And the result was God destroying the earth. We saw that the sons of God married the daughters of men. That is, the line of distinction between the godly and the ungodly had been done away. That's the nature of sin. There were days of great spiritual indifference and unresponsiveness. Noah preached for 120 years. Not much changed. Not much changed. The problem wasn't with Noah, and the problem wasn't with what he preached. The problem was the progressive nature of sin. That was the problem. And as it was, so shall it be. Oh, but you don't understand. We're more educated today. Well, Romans 1 has a lot to say about that too. You only think you are. As it was, so shall it be. This reason also, notice in 2 Thessalonians, very revealing verses of Scripture that describe what's going on right before our eyes and really what Romans 1's talking about. Verse 6 and verse 7, and now you know, we need to know this, what withholdeth, restraineth, that he might be revealed in his time. The he being revealed in his time is talking about the Antichrist. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, has since prior to the fall. Only he who now letteth, he who now restraineth, that's the Holy Spirit, will let, will restrain. He that restraineth will restrain until. There is a time limit. Until he be taken out of the way. Who's the he being taken out of the way? It's the restraining agent. Who's the restraining agent? The restraining agent is the Holy Spirit. When you get to the tribulation period, the reason the tribulation period is so bad, and you can't even imagine how bad it is because the Holy Spirit, as a restraining agent, is completely removed. That is, God, the Holy Spirit, does not work to restrain the passions and lust of men. It's gone. Man does whatever he pleases. No Spirit of God to restrain him at all. We don't realize how much the Spirit of God works today to restrain the passions of men. We've been seeing throughout history that restraining hand is being gradually removed, and therefore things get worse and worse and worse. It's all in preparation of the government of Antichrist. Our whole world system is moving toward, is walking down that path of the government of Antichrist. Everything is leading to that. Now, you and I that are saved, as 2 Thessalonians 2 goes on to explain, will be taken out before the Holy Spirit is completely removed as a restraining agent. You don't want to be here when there is no restraining power on the passions of man. I don't want to be here now when the hand is just gradually being removed. So, what happens is the evil with the restraining hand being gradually removed, its evil is on an accelerated pace. And Satan's crowd, without, once that restraining hand is being gradually released, they grow in their determination and boldness. And they become more bold, more relentless in promoting what? The agenda of Satan. The agenda of Satan is not what disagrees with your and I's opinion. The agenda of Satan is what disagrees with this book. And that is being more and more promoted, has been throughout history, because of the loosing of this restraining hand. Romans 1 illustrates all of this. So we live right now, we are witnessing the world being prepared for the establishment of the reign of Antichrist. As I've said many times before, I can remember back in the late 70s, not that that was a wonderful time. Again, things have gotten progressively worse. But I can remember thinking many times, well, how foolish do people have to be to this Antichrist just comes on and everybody believes them? But I don't have any trouble believing that anymore. None whatsoever. Because there's a preparation that's been going on for a long, long time, longer than you and I have been around, that is preparing the world for the reception of the reign of Antichrist. And he'll be revealed following the rapture of the saints that's brought out here in 2 Thessalonians 2. And if you read verses 6 through 10, you see it becomes even more plain. But it's not our purpose to go through that. Our purpose today is just to simply state that Romans 1 is a picture. It's an illustration of this time. And we see why it's happening. Why it's happening is the progressive nature of sin. You just follow the progression of sin throughout the Bible. And we'll begin to do that next week. You just follow the progression of sin. What makes you think that that progression of sin has changed? What makes you think that it's different today? It isn't. The progression of sin has always been the same. We're not exempt. So that's why we're seeing what we're seeing is the progression of sin. But in addition to that, we have this restraining agent of the Holy Spirit being gradually removed. Also, Romans 1 is a picture of what we read in 2 Peter 3, 3 and 4. There shall come in the last days scoffers. There's always been scoffers. Go back to Genesis, they were there. Scoffers are those who mock and ridicule and taunt and dismiss and belittle truth. But as the restraining agent is removed, these scoffers become more and more bold. And it says, walking or living after their own lusts or desires. Walking after their own lusts or desires. You can't tell me what to do. I don't have to obey so-and-so. I don't have to obey such-and-such. Yeah, and see where they can get you. See where that leads. It's the progression of sin. It's also what is stated in Jude 18, 19. There should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lust. Romans 1 is an illustration of this. So what is very clear in Romans 1 is another truth that people do not seem to comprehend is cause and effect. Very basic truth. You do this, this is going to happen. Cause and effect. You see it in Romans chapter 1. Notice in Romans 1, in verse 19, and also in verse 21, both of those verses begin with the word because. That very word is cause and effect. Because. Verse 24, you have the word wherefore. Wherefore. Cause and effect is illustrated in Romans 1. Which goes along with another truth, sowing and reaping. Sowing and reaping. It's common sense. You reap what you sow. What deceives people is, I sowed this today, and here I am in tomorrow, and I haven't reaped what I've sown, so therefore sowing and reaping doesn't apply. You plant corn, do you plant it on Monday and it grows on Tuesday? No, don't be a fool. Don't be a fool. Sowing and reaping can take a long time. You don't reap immediately what you sow. And I've had people tell me that. Well, if it was wrong, God would have punished me right away. Where do you come up with these things? Where do you get that? The basic law of sowing and reaping goes against that. It may be down the road. But you will reap. Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 and 8 make it very plain. The law of sowing and reaping. Romans 1 is an illustration of sowing and reaping. Romans chapter 1 is an analysis of any society that rejects God. Any society that rejects God, any people that rejects God, the outcome, unless God intervenes, is not good. It can't be good. Your only hope is that God intervenes and reverses course. But if He doesn't, you will get eventually to where you're going. And we've stressed this the last couple of weeks. You go down a road. Eventually, if you follow that road long enough, eventually you're going to get where that road heads. That's true with sin. You follow that road long enough, eventually you're going to get to where that road ends. And that's what we see here in Romans 1. We have to understand what is being presented in Romans 1. Because then we understand this is why it's happening. And here's the solution. And Paul states all this to state that the solution is the gospel. That's why he said in Romans 1:17, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel. That's the solution. The solution's not politics. The solution's not the economy. The economy can explode and be wonderful, the best economy that you and I have ever seen. That won't change the progression of sin. You can elect the greatest man that's ever lived as President of the United States. That won't change. That's not the solution to the progression of sin. There's only one solution to that problem. So man doesn't even know what the problem is. How can he know what the solution is? Let's look to the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for this day. We thank You for goodness to us. We thank you, Lord, for the truths that you present to us in your word. Pray now, Lord, that you'd be with us, that you'd meet with us, that we would grow closer to thee. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.